Hello everyone, we have Priyan Saxena here for an interview. He's from IIIT Gwalior. He has a dual degree in information technology and he's in his final semester so far. And he has some of the achievements in his plate already. He has cracked 5 internships so far from a big name such as IBM, Zomato, Ernst & Young and Dell Technologies. And right now, he's having 2 job offers, one from Zomato as a machine learning engineer, and the other one from Dell Technologies as a software developer engineer 2 post. So in this interview, he will be sharing with us how you can also crack the internship and how to get job offers. So Priyans, first of all, thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's an honor being here. And in this way, I can inspire many people. And I hope that people find it interesting and take some help from it.
All right, cool. So let's get started. So you are in your final year. So when is your education finishing?
It will finish in May 2021, this year.
May 2021. Okay. So many people are like find that they are not getting interview calls. They sometimes say that because of COVID, the job market has slowed down and there are not enough jobs. But when I look at you, you are still in your final semester and you have like 2 job offers. You already did like 5 internships and that too from big companies, right? So let's walk you through your journey. So you are enrolled in this 5-year education program. So when you did this internship, you mm-hmm. like just talk about how you managed to get 5 internship in these 5 big companies. So you can start with your experience and just talk about your journey overall.
Yeah. So when I look back at like, It's nothing like that. I have planned all these things. It's just happened, just one step at a time. Mm-hmm. First of all, I started with GoIBibo as my first internship. So back in November 2019, I was already rejected from Amazon, Gojek, and Goldman Sachs on campus drives in my college. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a bit of anxious, but I always take rejections as a learning experience because they tell that you are lagging something and you should improve upon that. Mm-hmm. So then on, after 2 to 3 months, I just brush up my concepts on data science, machine learning. And usually people go for various courses I see, like on Udemy, Coursera, and other places. Mm-hmm. I think, as well as paid courses also, I think YouTube is a great platform and people should leverage it. And there's lots of free education out there. So personally, if you ask me, I just use YouTube, several YouTube channels and mm-hmm. Medium articles, analytics with the Medium articles. So from there only, so you take one step at a time and just learn the basics, because in most of the interviews, there are mm-hmm. lots of algorithms for machine learning, data science, deep learning, AI. So in most of the cases, you see, like in interviews, they will only ask you the basic ones. Mm-hmm. So just start with the basics and get a thorough grip on the basic algorithms like logistic regression, decision trees. For some people, it may seem like, what are you talking about? Today we are doing CNN, RNN, and lots of cool algorithms, reinforcement learning, deep Q learning, these kind of things. But in most of the cases, in interviews, they will just ask you the basic algorithms. And they will put up the questions from your resume. So mm-hmm. whatever cool algorithms that you have mentioned in your resume, you should be fully confident about it. And from there, they will ask the deep learning part. Otherwise, they will just focus on the basic ones, basic ML algorithms or the basic deep learning algorithms. So yeah, basically I prepared for 2 to 3 months. Actually, it was a long journey. From second year, I was just preparing, doing some stuff here and there, doing some baby projects, doing some stuff with my seniors who were having their master's thesis. So it was like that. And then after several rejections in my fourth year, I guess. Yeah, starting of the fourth year, I was rejected in some companies, and then I prepared. I basically brushed up my concepts, and then when I was fully confident, I applied to several companies like HackerEarth, GoIBibo, Ernst & Young. So I cracked some of them, and then I went to GoIBibo. So it's an Indian online travel aggregator.
So GoIBibo was your first internship?
Yes. Back in my first year, I also did one internship, but it was just like, you know, like first year. So
yeah, okay.
Involving or something, but yeah, I learned some concepts through it, and the best thing I got from it was like I was introduced to the world of IoT. So I was basically, it later helped me in the patent process. So my patent is on embedded PDMS. So it involves lots of IoT. So yeah, you never know, because some opportunities don't come in your way like the way you want it. They come in a different shape or size. So be open to opportunities. Like back in first year, I did those things. And in third year, they helped me a lot. And today you see, I have a patent also just because of that.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you have a patent. So what is that patent about? It is an IoT.
Yeah, it's an IoT. It's an embedded PDMS. So it's a public distribution system, a public distribution management system. So it's still in the process, and it's towards the very last stage. So I'm afraid that I cannot share great details about it.
No problem.
It's like an ATM machine for public distribution of goods.
Got it. In your first year, you did some internship with some small company, and it wasn't too serious. But then your real internship was with GoIBibo, the first one.
Yes.
And that was in which year? Fourth year?
Yeah, December 2019 and January 2020.
Okay. Two months.
Fourth year,
so
yeah.
How did you come to know about that internship opportunity? Did you apply on your own, or did it come through your college?
No. Yeah, I applied off campus. So generally what people think in India is like, I'm not aware about other places, but in India, there's a general concept. If the college is good, people will not try off campus. They will think that companies will visit the campus, and then they can just, it will be a simple process. They have to just apply, appear in interviews. They don't have to, do stuff on their own for getting the interviews. So my college is also good, and many companies visit every year. Many big companies visit every year, but what I think was like campus placement is additional. You should always try for off campus. If you get an on campus placement, it's additional, it's good. But you should always focus on off campus placement, because in off campus placements, you can target all sorts of companies.
Yeah.
Obviously, no matter how good your college is, only limited companies would be visiting your college, but you should always try for off-campus, because moreover, after college also, you will have to go for off-campus only. There will be no concept of campus after college. So I always try off-campus placement. So
got it.
So I was also off-campus, and Ernst & Young was also off-campus.
So then, and those were data science internship or software engineering internships?
Yes. So GoIBibo was a data science intern, and Ernst & Young was also a data science intern.
Okay. So now, you look for these internship opportunities outside, and then you apply. Okay. Did you apply through some Indeed or Naukri website, or directly on there?
The best source is LinkedIn. So especially for internships, when you see like every year, every company will hire interns, no matter what. Every year they will hire interns. They may not have full-time employees, but every year they will take interns. So if there are, for me, I think like this, like if there are no openings, then also they are going to hire interns after some time. If not today, then after 2 months. So you can reach out to people, you can reach out to recruiters, or you can reach some people that you know personally, and then pass on your resume, and then you can tell them that you need an internship for so and so duration. Can you help me with that? So it will be in their mind, and whenever they see an opening internally, so they can push it and give you a referral. Otherwise, I also applied on LinkedIn. So I applied on LinkedIn jobs.
For GoIBibo internship, did you have anyone who referred you, or you just go to LinkedIn and directly apply?
No. GoIBibo does not have openings as such for internships. They hire from LinkedIn or from other job portals for full time, but generally for internships, they hire through employer referrals. So there was my college alumni who was working there. So I reached out to him and then he helped me with the referral.
Now, see, that's a very good point. So everyone who is listening, if you just rely on Naukri.com and let's say apply into 500 jobs, that's not going to work. Networking is very important. So Priyans, just today I had a video live, and in that video, the topic was how do you get interview calls or internship calls? And the first thing I always mention is networking. So many times, you know, people don't even have LinkedIn profile, which I find it shocking. So have LinkedIn profile, look through LinkedIn jobs, have connection like how Priyans did. He had a connection with his alumni who was working in Guaibibo. And connections are the most important thing if you want to get a job or internship. Many colleges have alumni portals. For example, my college has a portal called Alumni Connect. So I'm part of it and I can connect with all my alumni, you know, like even people who passed, let's say 20 years back. So I can connect with them, and those connections are the most critical thing. And I think that's what helped you, Priyans. So once your senior referred you to for Guaibibo internship, you applied, right? So when you applied, I think the first thing that comes in play is resume. So do you want to talk about some resume tips, like how can one build good, effective resume?
Yeah, for resume, I think the first and foremost thing is like you should have a stellar resume and an awesome LinkedIn profile. So these two things are mandatory. If you are trying for off-campus, and I suggest that all of you guys should also try for off-campus. Don't rely on campus placements. So first of all, resume. So in resume, I always suggest DD template. You can find it on Overleaf. It's a very standard template. And you know, in that
you can find it where? Which website you said?
Overleaf. So Overleaf is the other websites also. Overleaf is like online LaTeX compiler.
Okay. So we will provide a link of that in the video description below.
Yeah, you can find it in the description afterwards.
Hmm. And you said like you find which one? DD template.
DDDWDY.
Okay.
DD template. You can also find LaTeX files of it on GitHub. And otherwise, other places also, you can find it on Google Docs or somewhere like MS Word format. Otherwise, I would suggest you always make your resume in a LaTeX template. Mm-hmm. So it will be, you know, more aesthetically good.
Okay.
So in that template, you see that there's a proper place for your work experience. There is a proper spacing and proper portion allocated to it. There's a proper place for your achievements. There is a proper space allocated for your education, your skills. And, you know, it's a very balanced profile, a balanced resume, you will see. So it always, first thing is like you should always have a single page resume. If you use DD template, it is a single page resume format. Otherwise, if you are using other templates also, you should always have a single page resume. If you are a fresher, if you are several years of experience, then maybe you can use a multi page resume. But for freshers, I would suggest that you should always have a single page resume. And for LinkedIn, you will see, like, I would recommend that you should have a awesome LinkedIn profile. You should have all the sections complete. You should have mentioned your education, your work experience, your achievements, your publications, your coursework. You also try to get a recommendation if you can get. And you should have a proper professional looking profile picture. And one thing, like small things that people miss on LinkedIn is like, there's a title. So people generally write long titles. So if you will see in mobile devices, that long title would not be visible. Only dot, dot, dot would be there. So when you send a connection request, people will just see the title, and many a times people will not open your profile. So how to generate the interest of the person that he should open your LinkedIn profile and accept a connection request? So you should have a good profile picture and an awesome title, a short, catchy title, so that people may be interested about you and accept your request. So
okay.
You can have better networking in that way.
Perfect. And resume consists of mainly the projects. So like many times I've seen people mention dummy project, like, okay, Titanic data set classification. So what I say is, mention the projects which are little unique, which shows that you're not just copied code from somewhere, right? Like, you agree with that?
Yeah, of course. So if you are mentioning Iris dataset or Titanic dataset, no matter how much effort you have put in, it will always look like you have copied it from somewhere.
Mm.
Unless you have done some great amount of work or some great breakthrough in it. Otherwise, most of the times, 99% of the times, it will just people will see it on your resume and they will see he is just a aspiring data scientist.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, if you ask me, people generally ask like from where we should get our ideas for projects. So for me, initially when I was having this doubt, I basically looked out to LinkedIn profile of people who were established data scientists. So I visited their profile on LinkedIn, I see their resume and what all projects they have done while they were in college and later on if they did any, apart from their regular professional work. So you can get some idea from there what is demanded and what good people are actually have done. So you can get some idea from there. Secondly, you can always read some good research papers and then you can do some work on it. So these two sources I would recommend.
Also, I suggest sometimes that you can take some standard project but customize to your needs. For example, my YouTube channel has a sports person classifier project, okay, where I built an end-to-end website. So what I say is you take that project as an inspiration, but maybe you do classification for politician, let's say, or some spiritual personalities. You know, do a different type of classification where you are building the whole pipeline, right? From data collection to data cleaning to model building. You are doing your own work. So that way it kind of looks unique, right?
Yeah, it will make you stand out of the crowd. And one important thing is there, if you are like the way you mentioned, if you are doing a project like that, you should have full confidence on what you are writing on your resume and you should be fully confident about it. You should know each and every bit of the process, the complete pipeline. You should be aware of the complete pipeline because it will not look good if you are saying that I have done this project and it's already available on the internet and still you are not knowing about it. So it will look very bad in the interviews. So you should have confidence about it.
Because if you can't talk about the thing which you have mentioned on resume, it will immediately leave a negative impression on the interviewer that this person
can be a deal breaker. Many a times it will be a deal breaker. If you are, your resume is going awesome, you have told everything, but the things you have mentioned like your work experience you are not able to explain, or some project you are not able to explain, or something you have written, so it will be generally not result in selection.
So what kind of question did they ask in your Go IBIBO interview?
Yeah, so actually I don't remember the exact questions, but I will just give you an overview for what I remember.
So let's do this. So you have cracked like 5 internships and 2 job offers. So let's talk about general based on your this, and you have given many other interviews, right? You have given how many, like a lot of interviews, I guess, right?
37, 40, I guess.
30 or 40 interviews. So just talk about your general experience. So for data science, for data scientist position, like what kind of question they ask and how did you approach it, which got you success, and mention some specific examples as well.
Yeah. So if you ask me in general, so for software development roles, they will generally ask you coding, DS Algo part. So generally there is one online screening test that will consist of some 2 to 3 coding questions and some aptitude, some OS DBMS questions. So it will be divided in some section. So generally online test is like that. And then you will have a technical interview and in that they will just grill you upon DS Algo, just not the competitive programming, but just the basic DS Algos like LeetCode medium type questions. In most of the interviews, LeetCode hardwood, I hardly have heard that. In very less LeetCode hard questions would be there. Otherwise, LeetCode easy or LeetCode medium type questions.
And when they ask you a question, do they ask you to write code or maybe on the whiteboard? You must have written code on the whiteboard, right? Yeah, so Priyans, the question is when they ask you a coding question from LeetCode. By the way, if you guys don't know, LeetCode is a website where you can practice competitive coding. So when they ask you this question, they ask you to write code, right? Okay. Yeah, so is it on a whiteboard or sometimes they ask you to like run and even compile and run the code?
So nowadays, generally, most of the interviews are virtual only. So they will just ask you to share your screen, or they will have a CodaPad link. So whatever you will write, they will be able to see. So generally, you first of all, you have to share your thoughts with your with the interviewer. You have to tell what you are thinking. The interviewer will also help you a lot if you are just open to the interviewer. You are speaking out your thoughts. So in that way, first of all, you will finalize an approach if the interviewer likes it. So he will or she will ask you to code it down. After code, generally, most of the cases, they will not ask you to compile and run it because they already know the solutions.
Okay.
So they will see the code that if it's working or not. And they will ask you to dry run. So they will give you some test cases and they will ask you to how the code will work, how many iterations and how everything will be there. So sometimes they even ask you to compile and run the code. So for example, in GoIBibo, in my second round of interviews, the interviewer asked me to share my screen. It was on a Zoom call. And then he asked me to log in into a HackerRank. And then he asked me to click on unsolved questions and difficulty level medium. So it was quite unique. And yeah, I enjoyed the process. So he asked me to click on unsolved and medium questions, and then he asked me to scroll down, and then he said stop and said solve any questions which you see on your screen.
Oh, so you have to pick up. Oh, you picked up the question. Wow.
No. He asked me to scroll through the questions, and then he said stop, and then he asked me whatever questions are there on the screen, you just select any question.
Oh, so random.
Yeah.
Wow, that's unique.
Some choice. From the title only, I have to think which question would be easy for me, what I would be able to solve.
Nice. So
from title, you can never make it what type of question.
I know. Wow, that's unique. So, I have never heard anyone doing that.
Yeah, when I later I joined GoIBibo, so other people were also saying he every time when he takes an interview, he does like that. So it's kind of unique.
Okay.
And I find it interesting also. So he will give you a choice to you as well. And there is also a bit of uncertainty, element of the unknown. Because from the title, you can never make it which question is easy or difficult. So he asked me to code the question as well and then to run the test cases also. Generally, they will, because if you ask about running the code in the screening round only, you have just coded the question and then you have passed the test cases. So generally they will skip through the running part. They will just ask you to write the code on a notepad or somewhere, and then they will give you some test cases to have a dry run.
Got it. So that was about software engineer interview. How about data science interviews?
Yeah, before moving to data science, so this will be, these type of interviews will be one or two, like first interview or second interview generally. And later on, you will have a interview with a managerial round. So in managerial round, they will just ask you about your general experience, what all things you know and what all you are expecting from the company, and on a resume basically. The overall general discussion, I would not say generally it's a discussion, not an interview. So they will only, from their side, they will only put up very few questions. Generally, they will cross question you from your resume and what all you are explaining about your projects or your work experience. Afterwards, there is a HR round in which they generally see whether you are a good cultural fit or not. So it generally lasts for 15-20 minutes, max to max 20 minutes. So generally.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's about software development roles. Actually, I'm just talking about freshers, just to be clear. For experienced people, process may be different, but
different, yes.
The number of rounds are usually the same, 4 to 5 or 3, 4, 5. Yeah, for software, for data science roles, generally, sometimes they will give you an assignment and a week's time to solve that assignment or a day time to solve that assignment. So you have to submit your solution, basically a Jupyter notebook. In most of the cases, they will not ask you to create a web app or something. They will just ask you to, you know, give the results, or they will ask you the Jupyter notebook also. So that's the screening round for data science interviews, or you can also have a MCQ test sometimes. There will be some MCQ based, aptitude based test of data science questions. And then generally in data science, this general discussion. It's not DS Algo heavy. It's a general discussion on what you think you know, what you have mentioned in your resume. So if there are multiple rounds, so all the rounds would be of same type. Different people will take those rounds, but the main topic of discussion would be the same. So your resume, your ML basics, statistics basics, those kind of things. And of course, afterwards, the HR round.
So do you recall any specific question? You want to discuss any specific question on math and stat or machine learning?
Yeah, generally they will ask you for me at least. Generally they ask me from their side, they ask me questions on, you know, basic algos like decision trees, random forests. So there is a lot of depth in these algos as well, SVM. Mm. If you go into the mathematics, there's a lots and lots of depth in these algorithms as well.
Okay.
From above, if you see like from sklearn import random forest classifier, it's very simple, but there's a lots of maths inside it. So yeah, they will ask you these questions, and you, some people think that this is for only the point, this discussion is only from the point of interview purposes only, but this is not the case. If you know the maths, if you know the basics, then they later on help you in the problem formulation, which you will be doing in on a day-to-day basis when you are in a real job. So this is, the maths is very important. This will help you in selection of algorithms and the problem formulation phase. So generally, okay, they will ask me these questions and some basic questions on stats. It's not that difficult. Just you have to cover the basics. For me, at least, whenever I have given so many interviews, you have to just cover the basic algos and focus on the things that you have specs mentioned on your resume. So for example, you have used some XYZ algorithm. So they will ask why you have to use this algorithm. So what are the benefits of it? And if they know that algorithm, they will just ask you the maths behind it. Ask you the corner cases behind it, when this algorithm fails, and how will this algorithm perform if I give this kind of data, or will this fail when the data set is large, the features are large. So these kind of questions. And they will also ask like why specifically this algorithm, not the other algorithm. So you have to be prepared. So you have to be prepared for what all you have mentioned in your resume and what all also you have not mentioned. If you have mentioned XYZ resume and if it replaces some ABC algorithm, so you should know why you have not used ABC and you have used XYZ.
Or they might ask you, like, let's say if you have, for a given problem, you use support vector machine, they will ask you, okay, why don't you use deep learning here? Now, deep learning is meaningful when the training data set is humongous, right?
Very large. Yeah.
So those kind of like common sense question, or for example, for linear regression, like when we compute gradient descent, for example, we use for gradient descent computation, for example, we use mean squared error. Like, why don't you use mean square, like absolute value, right? So because when you use mean squared error, your gradient will diverge smoothly. So those kind of general common sense question, or maybe if you're talking about statistics, you know, they can ask you what kind of outlier techniques are you aware about, like IQR, or if you're using standard deviation, like why are you using 3 standard deviation? Why not 2? Because like in some cases, business scenario, maybe using 2 standard deviation might be still okay. But most of the cases people use like 3 or more. So they want to judge your kind of sense of judgment, really, rather than your absolute knowledge.
Yeah, generally, I've also seen in 2 or 3 interviews, the interviewer will show you a data set and they will ask how you will pre-process it. So how you will change this time column, the data type is date and time, and how you will use it and how you will scale the other features and what all algorithms you can use in it. So this is somewhat kind of tricky, and you will learn these things only through practical experience. Only through if you are on a daily basis, you are surfing through Kaggle notebooks or you are doing some real stuff, then only you can know these things. And specifically, I remember from one of my internship assignments, it was for an international intern from Indonesia. So they just gave a data set and there were 3 files in the data set. And the question was, do some innovative out of it. So it was a very big e-commerce.
Open-ended question. Yeah.
very big e-commerce company in Indonesia. I think they are second in terms of market share. So the question was, do some innovative out of it. And they didn't give any description of the features in the data. So you have to just, you know, think of, you know the domain. So it's a e-commerce data, but the feature name were encoded like PR.value, PR_value. So you have to judge yourself what can be this value. You have to judge it from the magnitude, from its variance, from number of distinct values. You have to judge it yourself. First of all, you have to figure out what the data is, what features are there, and how some features were even scaled also, like they were already transformed. So you have to just, you know, be innovative, and then you have to drive the problem.
This is a very interesting question, because what I'm finding is many times businesses have humongous volume of data, but they don't know what to do with this data, right?
Yes.
So if I'm running, let's say, multi-million-dollar company, I will go to a data scientist and like, look, I have this 3 terabyte worth of data. I don't know what to do it. You tell me, what can I do? I think data science is cool. You tell me what I can do. And as a data scientist, now it's your job to kind of come up with some innovative idea, innovative analytics idea.
Yeah, that's why I already said that you should know the math behind the algorithm. So when you look at the data, it should intuitively come to your mind after doing some basic ETL. It should intuitively come to your mind that what all can be performed on this data. So that's why the math is very important.
And okay, so you are saying math is very important. So I think if everyone who is listening, like, you should not just use sklearn and just, you know, like, just call fit method, because it's like 5 lines of code, right? Like train and whatever fit and whatever data cleaning you're doing. I think you should try to read math. Do you know about any good math? Like, how did you learn math? Just general YouTube and online, or you have any book?
What I see is, like, if you directly go to the math, it will not be
interesting.
Not be interesting. So first of all, you can just go through to some Medium article, or directly go to some Kaggle kernel, and then you look some example how exactly they are using it. And you can also do it on your own without knowing the maths. First of all, you can just implement it, then it will give you a sense of confidence that this is how this algorithm is doing, this is the input, this is the output, and what all parameters are there. So it will give you a high level overview of what the algorithm is, what it is performing, what it is doing, and how it is doing. Then you can learn the math behind it. So for if you ask for specific sources, so I generally refer to Medium articles or Analytics Vidya. There is one book, Hands-on Machine Learning with Sklearn and TensorFlow, by O'Reilly. So you can refer that book. This was basically, it's a very balanced book. It has everything in it. For a beginner, I would recommend that book. You don't have to read the complete book, just read some first few chapters, and then whenever you want to learn math behind a certain algorithm, you can then refer that book for that algorithm. Otherwise, Medium and Analytics Vidya are sufficient.
Okay, good. Actually, I am also thinking of planning a separate series on my YouTube channel, just for the, math for, let's say, data science. So that way I can take a data science problem and then slowly go into math in detail. So I will probably, now since we are discussing, maybe I will start that series and provide all the informational videos on these topics. So going over your data science interview process. So in data science interview, just to summarize what we discussed so far, the first step is screening. Screening could be multi-choice question, or it could be they give you a problem and they give you 1 week or 1 day, and you have to come up with a Jupyter notebook, right? To kind of... Or just the result, right? Then you get, let's say, then if they like you, you get an interview call. Your actual interview could be 1 or 2 or 3 rounds. And the format of these rounds are similar, where they ask you mostly scenario-based question. They might give you a data set. They might ask you to do some analytics on top of it. Or they could be like Indonesia-based company, where it's, okay, here's a data set, do something innovative. Or some math, statistics, or algorithm question, they will ask you also questions on, here is the given problem, why would you choose algorithm X versus Y? So they are trying to measure your sense of judgment. What else? Do they ask you competitive coding question, like you have to write coding?
Yes, sometimes they would ask only in the initial rounds, first round, max to max, second round. Later on, they will just, it will be just the ML heavy. And in generally what I have seen is 50% of the time, they will just ask you if you have mentioned some cool things on your resume. So you can't drive your interview. You should have a storyline of what all you have mentioned in your resume. Your thoughts should be organized beforehand, before appearing in an interview, so that you can intrigue the interest of the interviewer. So you can just spend most of the time discussing on your resume rather than he giving you questions.
Got it. So have you seen a case where I have 1 hour interview and let's say 40-45 minutes they discuss on resume only?
Yeah. So specifically in my resume, if you see, I have three, four internships I mentioned, and some projects on all the projects. I have research papers. I have also some book chapters and a patent also. So generally I drive the interview in such a way that most of the time should be allocated to my resume and cross questions from it. So when I prepare beforehand, when I prepare for the interview, I just think that if I will say this, what the interviewer may ask, what the cross question may be. So I also read that topic and then in that way I prepare. And most of the times I have a very, a unique way of telling, explaining my work experience. And I use some catchy words. Yeah, you should not never lie in an interview and your resume. Just you should know, because nowadays what you are saying is less important as compared to how you are saying it. So you should be confident and you should speak in a confident way, in a smooth manner. And then the interviewer will definitely, if you are having some cool things on your resume, like your work experience and your projects or something, so interviewer will have some cross questions. It will be a general discussion, not like job interview. Like it's a general discussion when you are driving to your resume. The ball is in your court.
Yeah.
So in that way, so generally what I see is in most of the interviews they don't have a very structured, some of the interviews are very structured, they will have allocated time for each and every question, and if you are not able to answer that question in that amount of time, they will just move on. And generally in 60-70% of the interviews they have a general discussion on your resume and some basic ML algo. So in that case you should try to maximize the time that you and the interviewer are allocating on your resume.
So in very good tip.
I've seen like 40-45 minutes ago on discussing the resume and what all I have mentioned in my resume or my work experience.
One other thing I suggest to people is, and this goes back to their connections with alumni, that before giving the interviews, they can have mock interviews with their seniors. So let's say in your college, if you have a senior whom you are connected with your alumni network, you can request that person that I want to appear for an interview. Like, would you be able to take my mock interview? So when your seniors take your mock interview, you're ready prepared. You don't get in a shock and you don't go into that nervous situation, because once you get nervous, you cannot perform to your best ability. So if you've done some NET practice.
This happens with everyone. So you should not be very, shy about it. You should always have some practice and give your best on the final day. So before appearing in an interview, you can just ask your friends, your college friends or someone, or your alumni, or you can, just start with basics. You can have some interviews scheduled from AngelList or some small startups, and then you can, from there, you can learn.
Okay. So your real interview experience, you can do it by actually going for interviews itself.
Yeah.
If you're targeting for big companies, so don't just focus on one or two companies. Give interviews in as many companies as possible, because that will help you do a lot of practice as well.
Nothing like, for me, interview is a general discussion. It's always a learning experience. So generally the interviewer also enjoys if the interviewee is not afraid, or he is very casual. So the interviewer will also enjoy. So it's a two-way conversation and both guys enjoy. So
perfect.
I think as many interviews as possible.
Okay, cool. So those were all interview tips. Now, let's talk about your internship. So you have a ML position, machine learning engineer position in Zomato. You have software SDE2 position in Dell Research. And you have done data science internship in Ernst & Young and all those big companies. So during your data science, like why having internship is important? And what did you learn during your internships?
Yeah, so for people who are freshers who are trying to get into these companies for data science roles, so generally people say that they don't have freshers or they don't have any openings. So yeah, it's somewhat true. Like they have less openings as compared to software development roles, but yeah, they have openings, but it's the ratio is comparatively less. So what I suggest is, and what I have tried myself is, try to go for internships. So instead of they being judging you in a 30 minutes window, you have a 2 to 3 months of internship and they can judge you by that time, in that time. So yeah, try for internships. And internships are generally easier to crack as compared to full-time job roles. So from internships, after your completion of internships, they generally company offer you a full-time offer if they like your work. So the one benefit of doing the internship is that, and otherwise also it's a great opportunity to learn. Nowadays they also pay you heavily for internships, so for some people that can be the motivating factor. Otherwise it's a great learning experience.
So during your 5 year five year education, you did 5 different internships. So you know, usually when you're in college you don't earn money, but let's say if you're getting paid, you can earn money and maybe take care of some of your tuition fees, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the benefit. So let's talk about some of the projects. So you want to mention any cool project that you did, like what technologies did you use and what was your learning experience overall in all this internship?
Yeah, so initially I was doing just some baby projects for surf learning on Kaggle or some Udemy Coursera course. Then later on, what I would say is my first big project was on, you know, 3D path planning. So
was it in the internship or that was at college?
It was at my college. I was just doing it with one of my seniors. He was having this project as his master's thesis. So I was basically helping him out.
Okay.
So it was a great learning experience. So it was not an ML or deep learning. It was just on AI, heuristic based algorithms, optimization algorithms. So it was on that. So it was like if you have a unmanned air vehicle, you give a target and a destination. So if you give a source and a destination, so the UAV has to plan its path in the real time, in the dynamic environment. So generally, if you see in 3D environment, you have lots of directions, lots of next steps that the UAV may take. So it's a very computationally expensive problem. So if you have to make those decisions in the real time, so, you know, it's very difficult to do that. So for that, we used nature-inspired algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so it was, I guess, I spent around 4 to 5 months on this one. So it was the longest project that I ever did till now. Yeah, it was a great learning experience for me, especially working with my senior. So he was a very nice guy and he always helped me out. So we worked as a team and, you know, the code was in MATLAB as well as in Python. So generally people, what freshers try is like, they generally go to directly to deep learning algorithms. That may be beneficial, but for me, I started with the basics and this was not even a machine learning project. It was just based on AI. So we used SALP-SAM algorithm on it. Later on for my bachelor's project also, I did something related to this only. So we also went on to publish a research paper in a reputed journal based on this. And I also have a book chapter in one book by Springer based on this. And I was also contacted by some people from China, from some university. I don't remember the name exactly. They were asking, my solution for the problem. So it was an aeronautical university. It's a very popular university. I exactly don't remember that name. It's in Chinese.
Yeah, okay.
So it was basically, you see, like I have spent 5 months on it. So generally people get disheartened. So if you are trying something ambitious, it will take time. It's not like overnight success. So there is a high investment also, and there are high returns also if you successfully complete it and don't leave it in between. So that was my first project. Then on, later on, I worked with one of my other seniors. He is currently working in data science role only. So it was on GAN. So it was like image in painting of through GANs and using some residual learning. Later on, I did some projects on transfer learning. So only three projects are mentioned in my resume. People, I think two projects are enough if they are good enough. People should not try to put many projects on their resume. Only two or three projects are enough. So I mentioned three projects. One is on GAN, one is on AI, and one is on transfer learning.
So how about your Zomato experience? How was that experience? What were you working on? What technology tools did you use there?
Yeah, so if you talk about Zomato, it's a great company, I would say. A great company to be in at this time, because it has the largest subscriber base in India. So it has more than 100 million customers.
I think everyone who is listening, they are a subscriber of Zomato. They are ordering food right now, so they probably know.
Yeah. So it's a... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at Zomato, it's a great company to work in. And you know, it's a startup, so it's very fast paced and products are built from ground up. So basically, I was working, three guy team. So I was working with two other guys, and we were basically building the recommender system for the app. So we were trying to basically, it was the first step towards a greater use case. So the first baby step was to have recommendations inside the restaurant page, inside the app. So later on, if we successfully deploy this, and later on we can use these algorithms or this framework in all other use cases of Zomato. So we were using some deep learning algorithms for this, and yeah, it was fun. It was fun. So if you, if you are trying something ambitious, it will take time. It has a lot of disappointment. Mm-hmm. So what we were using, it was something new. And there was no documentation from where we were using it. So there was no documentation for it. And we had to, you know, come up with some innovative solutions, debug the code ourselves, new things.
So if I have a Zomato app based on my past history and location and several other factors, it will try to suggest me the food, you know, which I can order. Was it that?
Yeah. That's a, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Like in Amazon and other things, you see, like if you search something, then the recommendations would change according to that. So like that only.
Got it. And in terms of data, were you dealing with like millions of record? Like what was the data volume?
Yeah. So you can imagine with Zomato, like there is so much number of customers. So yeah, it was a huge, I would say, very huge data.
I see. Because see, the one issue is, if you're in college, you are working on some data set, which is like, okay, 5,000, 10,000 records. But when you go to and let's say you are writing code in Python on your laptop, but when you go in the industry, the scale changes. Now you're dealing with, let's say, 10 million records. Running simple Python notebook on your computer is not going to work, right? So you might have to use some cloud, some special GPU resources. So did you end up doing that, or was it still like what was your experience on that front?
So when you are dealing with such a huge amount of data, you see several new problems start to appear, like the time lag, latency, and if the number of requests, you know, there are so many huge number of requests, the system may fail in that case. So there are new set of problems that may arise with this huge amount of data and this large scale. So yes, we were using some techniques to counter this. And yeah, I was basically introduced to some of the things, but the product is still in the development, and very soon there will be an update and you can enjoy this new recommended system on your app. Yeah, but yes, of course, I was introduced to many new things which I would have never learned on my own, because some of the things I didn't have the access to, and some of the things may not apply if you are doing it on your own. So yes, internships are important in that sense.
Perfect. All right. So I have one last question. Many times people send me a comment in my YouTube saying that because of COVID, job market is down. I'm not getting interview calls. But what I tell people is that COVID has accelerated the digital transformation across businesses, due to which the jobs for IT, data science, data analyst roles are actually increasing. They are not reducing. I see them personally, you know, in my day-to-day life, there are many jobs. So I suggest that people just need to work a little smart. You know, if they just keep on doing the same thing, for example, networking, I see very few people spending time on networking. They just focus on the technical skills. You know, they're reading books, programming, all that. But that's one part, but other soft skills are important. Networking, communication. For example, one of the common interview questions is, okay, describe something about yourself. I mean, many times people don't know, like they do need to do mock sessions on those things. So I always say that there is always a demand for talented people, the right talent, there is always a demand. Like, so what are your thoughts on that? Like, do you think like the number of jobs are less or something like that?
Yeah, it reduced during the initial days of COVID, but later on, everything came back on track and the demand increased as well. So, so you can do nothing about the external factors. You can always focus on yourself and you can improve yourself. So if there is less number of jobs, so what can you do? Like either you can do a startup and create jobs. Otherwise, you can always brush up your skills and, you know, study hard. And networking is also very important. So for freshers, if you are in final or pre-final year, use LinkedIn as Facebook. Do spend 1 or 2 hours every day. Connect with recruiters and other influential people. And it will, like, you can always ask for a referral, or and the other benefit is you will be having the newsfeed option. And in that, if somebody is hiring in their team and there are no job openings, they are directly asking for sending the resume to their email. So you can directly, if you don't have the connections, you will not see this kind of post in your newsfeed. So try to connect with as many people as you want. Don't send the connections randomly. Just recruiters or some people, give a thought before sending a connection request. Okay. And then it will help you in many ways. So for me personally, I spend generally in the morning, I spend 15-20 minutes every day surfing LinkedIn.
Okay.
And it's a great platform also. So in other platforms, you see lots of advertisement and other stuff. But in LinkedIn, you will generally find news or some useful stuff only.
One day, one person was complaining that I'm sending requests to people on LinkedIn, but no one is accepting my request. The requests are being ghosted. And what I say is, like, there is a way in which how you connect with people. Sometimes people, like, for example, I get so many LinkedIn requests, right? Sometimes people send me a request. In the request itself, they say, sir, I'm facing this error in my problem. Can you please help? Sir, please, please, please. They say like, please, 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 10 times. And I reject the request. Like, if you can't help yourself, no one else will help you. Like, don't portray yourself as a poor fellow who is in a dire need of help. You need to maintain your self-esteem. Like, have a very high dignity. And when you are, you know, sending a message to someone, like, be respectful of other people's time. It's not like I'm going to dig into your code. Like, I'm so busy. Come on, understand my situation.
Yeah, of course. Post people. Because what happens is people have so many problems on their own. So nobody is there to solve problems through LinkedIn. There are other portals for it. So on LinkedIn, you should have a decorum and you should, behave respectfully on LinkedIn.
Yeah. And have you faced this issue where, like, when you send a request to someone, like, what do you say generally? Like, how do you make sure that your connection request gets accepted?
For me, LinkedIn profile is very important. So when you send a request, so if generally what people will see, just your profile picture and your title, what you have mentioned on LinkedIn. So it should be catchy enough. Like, you should have mentioned all your achievements or something catchy, like your company, what previous company or current company, or something you should have, that should intrigue the interest of the person that you are sending the invite to.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, generally earlier when I started, so this was the case with me also. And usually I don't send requests to random people.
Mm-hmm.
I send requests to people whom I know, whom in which company I'm working in. So suppose I'm working in GoIBIBO or Zomato, so I will connect with people whom I know personally, or I'm working in a team with them, or they're in some other team. So generally I connect to those people. Otherwise I connect to recruiters. So generally recruiters will connect to you,
mm-hmm.
because it's their job to do this.
Yeah.
So,
and if you have such connection with recruiters, as you mentioned, like when they post in their feed, you will also see their feed. So you can then apply and so, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes they don't post in the LinkedIn job section. They just directly create a post on LinkedIn and just they paste post in their feed.
Perfect. All right, so any closing thoughts? I think we are done with all the questions. Any closing thoughts that you would like to share, especially for the people who are looking for internship or jobs right now?
Yeah, what I would say is, like, first of all, you should have a belief and a confidence that you can make it. So first of all, your first task is to apply through the jobs and have a good resume. You know, have all your have all positive thoughts in your mind. So first step is apply to as many jobs as you can. And then next step is prepare hard. So only these two things are in your hand, and only these two things you can improve upon. So first of all, have a belief, have confidence, have faith that you can make it. And don't think that rejections are some way to, you know, demoralize you. You should always think of it as a learning experience, as a feedback. So that you can, you know, learn from this. And always, you can always ask your feedback from the recruiter if you are rejected. You can just write them a mail. If you are, they are not providing the feedback, you can always write a mail to them and they will, of course, provide you the feedback. So you can work on those things. And, you know, sometimes in a bigger picture, it may seem that it was good that you were rejected back then, because, you know, you studied hard and then cracked a better job than you were previously targeting. So in a bigger picture, sometimes these things, you know, help you out.
See, it's our human mind. We just look at a local picture. If we start looking at the bigger picture, we'd be much happy overall. So you made an excellent point. This is more like a spiritual discussion, you know, like looking at a bigger picture.
Something even far better may be waiting you in the next couple of months. You are just, you know, thinking that I'm not getting a job, I'm not getting an interview. So don't have these negative thoughts. I know it's difficult to ignore these thoughts, but have some faith on yourself and don't think about the past. Just think about the present and the future. Just apply and study hard. And maybe in 2 to 3 months of time, you may land up a better role than you were rejected.
This actually happened with me, Priyansh, actually. I was rejected in one job and I was very disappointed. Then I got another job and now I'm thinking, oh, good, I got rejection because I'm much more happy here.
One more advice would be like, always be open to opportunities, because some opportunities may not arrive you in the shape or form that you may desire, but later on they may be very good for you. And later in the bigger picture and in the event of things, you will see that how these small things help you in the long run.
Yeah, we were yesterday. I was talking with some Indian singer with my nephew. His name is, I think, Jubin Nautiyal. He has sung some famous song. Yeah. I think he was a computer engineer and he got rejection in the job. Then he was like very sad. Like, and then he said, okay, I know how to sing. So let me try singing. Now he has become famous singer. If he had gotten a job, he would be working for some company and no one would know him. So these things, look, this thing happens in everyone's life. You need to have a self-belief. That's the most important thing. And one other thing I say is, let's say you spend 3 months not having a job. Don't get frustrated during those 3 months. That 3 month time period is your learning time period. Learn more things, you know, try to help people for free. For example, I always say that go to an NGO and say, okay, I'm a data scientist. Do you need any help? Maybe I can help you build a little system or a little analytics tool. When you do that, not only you get some learning experience, real learning experience, not the Titanic dataset experience, but you also get a feeling of giving back, right? Yeah, you developed all these skills, but now you're giving it back to for free. And look, that experience is amazing. That experience is more better than, you know, getting like paid at your job. So no matter what happens, it's all good. In Bhagavad Gita, there is a statement saying that, okay, whatever is happening is happening for good. It's just, you need to have that belief and just keep on trying and keep on, keep your mind open to a better future.
Yeah, agreed.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much for your time today, Priyansh. I really appreciate. And if people have any question, we'll be live premiering this interview. So if people have any question, you can post in a video comment below. Me and Priyansh will try to answer as many comments as we can. And we wish you all the best of luck. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.